1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. Today's edition of the program, we preview the Bears and Rams game coming up in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Tom Grassi, famous NFL YouTuber and an award-winning comedian. We talk with him about the Chicago Bears' chances this year, his Green Bay Packers, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs. He's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no game with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find him online at ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. We have to learn how to temper expectations. We always want so much. We want more. We want the best. But oftentimes, it doesn't happen that way. Cubs fans wanted a couple of World Series. They wanted a dynasty. They only got one. They were disappointed. Hey, Bryant, Baez, Rizzo, they'll be good. And now they're not even on the team. Bears fans, 1985, they wanted more than one Super Bowl. 86, they were the best team in football, couldn't win. One Super Bowl, that's it, and a team disbanded soon after. If you always expect the best, chances are you're going to be disappointed. Versus realizing and living in reality, understanding that it's pretty damn hard to demand the best and get it every single time. A lot of Bears fans are excited about Week 1 against Los Angeles in Los Angeles Sunday night. I am too. Can't wait to watch Bears football. Can't wait for the season to come back. But I want to warn you all today. Don't be surprised when the game doesn't go the way you want it to go. I'm not just talking about Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, and the quarterback controversy. I'm talking about the team in general. Everyone needs to understand who the Bears are facing on Sunday. This is not Cincinnati or Jacksonville, New York. No. It's the Los Angeles Rams. For those who don't know, Rams are a pretty damn good team. Actually, they're a Super Bowl contender this year. Even with the loss of Cam Akers in the backfield, they still have Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel. Their wide receiving corps, solid. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, DeSean Jackson. And of course, we can't forget about Matthew Stafford, who I believe is a legitimate MVP candidate today. Oh, and by the way, their defense, not bad at all. Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, former Bear, Jalen Ramsey. This is the definition of a stacked team. Plain and simple. And to me, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It could be Dalton, could be Fields, could be Foles. The Bears are going to have a tough go on Sunday night. Not only contain this pass offense, but then defeat the defense. You're a quarterback with a beat-up O-line. How could you avoid Leonard Floyd or Aaron Donald? You throw the ball downfield. You think Jalen Ramsey's going to let you get away with a big pass? No. You're a Bears fan. I wouldn't be expecting the best on Sunday. Plain and simple. That's not a knock on the Bears or saying, oh, I'm not a fan. I don't want them to win. It's just reality. The reality is the Bears are not better than Los Angeles by any stretch. And it's really going to take a miracle for them to win on primetime on Sunday against, again, Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay, too, the head coach. I will say this, though. The Bears' offensive line actually looks better than it did early on. The inside part is great. James Daniels, Sam Mustafa, Cody Whitehair. That is not a bad internal offensive line. Their issue is going to be the outside. German Efetti, Jason Peters. When you have good edge rush, especially from Aaron Donald or Leonard Floyd, it's going to be hell for that quarterback. It's going to be hell for Andy Dalton to avoid the rush. That's the problem. The internal part of the offensive line I like. I think it's serviceable, at least. But the edge rush is really going to kill the Bears on Sunday. Run game's going to be tough. You can't get those edges. I don't know how David Montgomery's going to run for big yards. Or Damian Williams. Even Khalil Herbert, too. The one thing I want to see, though, is how Andy Dalton does with everybody in the game. I know that last preseason performance was horrible. Just horrible. Forgettable despite the one touchdown throw to Rodney Adams. That was it. And that saved Dalton and his line for the day. I want to see how he does when he has Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Marquise Goodwin. And he has the full starting O-line in front of him. I'm not saying Andy Dalton's a great quarterback, but he is serviceable. Maybe he could put together a good performance. But as I've talked to people around the league and people in league circles, I've heard the same resounding opinion from everybody. Expect Justin Fields to take a step on the field. May not be the starting quarterback, may not come in for Dalton, but I do believe there's going to be a Justin Fields package on Sunday. Similar to Lamar Jackson, his rookie year. You remember it was Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson, and Flacco started, did okay. Jackson came in and cleaned things up, but Jackson played game one. There was a Lamar Jackson package. Threw the ball a couple of times, ran, even lined up at times as a wide receiver. Jalen Hurts, that happened last year too in Philadelphia. It's becoming more and more common, and we know Justin Fields is so athletic. He could run, he could pass. Well, I'm sure he could catch, even if they wanted to do that. I expect him to get valuable minutes. I don't know how long he's going to play. I don't know if he's even going to touch the football. But I do expect him to be on the field at some point on Sunday. Tell you one thing, that'll throw up the defense. Having two quarterbacks in and not knowing what Justin Fields is going to do, he will play. I'm telling you right now, he will be in the game at some point. And he's going to do something. I expect some designed RPOs for Justin Fields. Maybe even a chance to throw the ball. I could see it. As I've said many a time before, there are some things I'm looking forward to for this Bears team. I want to see David Montgomery have a 1,000-yard season. I want to see Justin Fields come into his own as a quarterback. Love to see Andy Dalton at this stage in his career, maybe put up a productive season. And I really want to see this O-line protect their quarterbacks. Not to mention, by the way, the defense, which is aging. There are a lot of question marks for this Bears team. A lot of things I'm curious about. I mean, this could determine their future, in a sense. I want to know if they're sustainable. Can this team win games? Do they have the potential? Is there any potential there to win games for 3 or 4 years under Justin Fields? Or is this it? I just want to see how it plays out. I'm unsure of a lot of things for this team. Nothing is definite. So the general rule of thumb, when you have so many question marks, don't expect to win. I really believe it's going to be a pass-heavy game for Los Angeles. I believe they're going to pass the ball more than they run, not only because Cam Akers is hurt, but because you have a brand-new quarterback who is very good in his own right in Matthew Stafford, and a new offense with Sean McVay. We saw what McVay did with Jared Goff, who, by the way, sucks. Really a pure system quarterback. Can't even imagine what he's going to do with Matthew Stafford, who actually has talent. I'm thinking Stafford throws the ball around 30 to 35 times. That's a conservative estimate, too. I don't see them running the football too much. Cam Akers is hurt, who was supposed to be their big guy, and Daryl Henderson is unproven. He had a couple of good games last year, but Akers took the job from him easily. They signed Sony Michel, who was cut by the Patriots. They don't have a run game. They do not have a formidable run game. That's going to help the Bears out. The Bears will know and brace for the pass more often. But still, if you have Matthew Stafford and you have Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, DeSean Jackson, deep threat, could be a problem for the Bears secondary. And right now, you have starting Jalen Johnson, DeSean Gibson, Eddie Jackson, and Kendall Vildor. Not horrible. Could be better, but not horrible. The problem is the second string. Artie Burns, DeAndre Houston Carson, Deion Bush, Duke Shelley. It's not going to work. I really think they're going to have a big problem containing Woods, Kupp, Jackson, Tyler Higbee, tight end. That's what scares me. And you're facing Sean McVay. He is an offensive guru, to his credit. Now, some people like to give him hate because, number one, a Super Bowl, made it, couldn't win. Never had a good quarterback. He made Jared Goff look outstanding. Jared Goff, rookie year. Look it up. Horrible under Jeff Fisher. And I know Jeff Fisher, old school coach, but nevertheless, he was nothing until McVay got there, Jared Goff. Watch, you'll see in Detroit this year when the Bears face him, you'll see his issues on full swing. You'll know, oh my gosh, this guy's not a good quarterback. He was good. He was propped up by the team around him and by Sean McVay. That's why I keep saying, can you imagine Matthew Stafford in this offense? Stafford actually threw for 5,000 yards in Detroit and had nobody. Can you imagine now, heck, we're giving you three great wide receivers, good tight end, decent enough run game if Akers was healthy, and oh yeah, a great offensive-minded coach who worked wonders with what should have been a bust of a pick. I'm expecting at least 350 passing yards from Matthew Stafford and a Rams win. I hope it won't be a blowout. I could see it going that way, though. I highly doubt, by the way, Justin Fields comes in to play quarterback. Just want to make sure that's out there, too. And if I'm wrong, come at me. But I really don't see Fields coming in to start. The Bears promised Andy Dalton at least one or two starts, to my knowledge. He's going to play. Even if he sucks, he's going to play. Like him or not, Mitch Trubisky got two starts last year. He did. Change was made in game three. So he got two starts, and they won those games, too, the Bears. I do believe Andy Dalton will get his time here. It's a matter of him making the most of the situation. To his credit, he knows Justin Fields is right behind him. He's not stupid. And he knows everybody wants Justin Fields and not him. At least he's aware of the situation, unlike Nick Foles. But he's going to have some issues against this Rams defense. Can't run, not mobile. Going to be a problem when Aaron Donald bears down on him. Going to be a problem when the edge rush kicks in and those parts of the O-line can't help him. Main point, don't expect a great game from the Bears. I'd love to see him win. I'd love to see an upset, but just think about the storyline here, too. First game in a new stadium, Sunday Night Football. Rookie quarterback on the bench. Oh, that's right, you're facing Los Angeles, too, who has a brand new quarterback, MVP candidate, in that right. Great coach. Good defense, great wide receiving core, too. And I know this, too. If the Bears win with Andy Dalton, if they overcome all of that and win, they overcome a potential MVP quarterback. Good defense, good edge rush. Great head coach. Everyone's going to be pissed anyway. Why isn't Justin Fields coming in? This only validates Andy Dalton. What difference does it make? You're all going to be pissed regardless of what happens. If the Bears lose, it's going to be, hey, put in Justin Fields now, and then you're going to be mad when Nagy doesn't do it. If they win, oh no, Andy Dalton's staying in forever now. So no one's going to be pleased by the end result, no matter what it is. I never thought I'd see that. I mean, last year it existed to an extent. We saw Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. Everyone wanted Mitch to lose so they could pull him out. And they did, even though the Bears won. But this year, it's on a whole new level. To think, who cares who wins? There's still going to be a problem come Monday morning. That's an issue. I know everybody wants Justin Fields. Everybody's clamoring for Justin Fields. But just look at yourself in the mirror for a second. You honestly tell me you're going to be pissed off if the Bears win and they beat Los Angeles, this big upset win on Sunday night? Well, I want Justin Fields to play. Well, that's not what I'm asking you. You're actually going to be pissed off the Bears win and pull off this upset. Everyone's so concerned about Fields, and they're concerned about Matt Nagy's motives, and I'm not a fan of Matt Nagy, but regardless, if they win, you're telling me you're not going to be happy, and you're not going to root for this team. You're going to be pissed off either way. They lose, you're going to be so pissed. Put in Fields. If they win, oh, this only validates Andy Dalton. What are we going to do? I'm really surprised it's gotten to this point. It's unfortunate. Because this still could be a great year. I'm not saying the Bears are a Super Bowl contender. They're even going to make the playoffs. But you know what? It could be a competitive season. No less. And as we enter game one, the consensus is, no matter what happens, I'm going to be pissed. Not the way you want to look at it. And if that's what you want to do, then so be it. But I'm not going to be that way. If they actually pull off this upset, which I doubt, but if they do, I'll be the happiest guy in the world. That's not me being a Justin Fields hater. It's called rooting for the team. You know, because it's a team sport, not a me sport. But no, let's root for Justin Fields to come in, root against Andy Dalton, and hope the team sucks. But it'll be better for their future. Can't you just be happy they win? I mean, have we really gotten to a point where we're going to be pissed off either way? Whatever happens in the game, everyone's going to be pissed? What does that tell you about the Bears fan base and about this Bears team? But you're sitting here bracing, no matter what, to get on Twitter and say, oh, I hate this team. Oh, I can't believe this happened. Can't just enjoy the game. Can't just watch the sport and appreciate what happens either way. You have every right to be pissed if the Bears lose, if Andy Dalton throws two picks, and you say, bring in Fields. Fine. But if they win, if Andy Dalton has a great game, they beat the Rams Sunday Night Football primetime in front of everybody, and you're still pissed off? That's a you problem. That's a you problem. Not a me problem. Not a Bears future problem. That's a you problem. Last time I checked, no matter what, I want the Bears to succeed. And this team has glimpses, has potential to do something this year. Maybe not much, but something. And if that's the way you want to behave and believe, then that's your prerogative, I guess. But I sure as hell am not going to follow that philosophy. That's backwards. To sit down before the game even starts and say, I don't care who wins or who loses, I'm going to be pissed anyway. And you guys call me contrarian. That is contrarian. No matter what happens, I'm mad, and you should be too. What? Come on. Enjoy the game. Be happy football is back. Be happy that if the Bears win, it's a huge upset and a great story. Not, oh, it screws them for the future. Oh, Justin Fields won't come in. Oh, validates Nagy. It's one game. One game will not validate anything. I don't care who you are. We have a whole season to play. So even if the Bears win this game and pull off the upset, it's not time to sound the alarm right away. Getting me impassioned over here because it's just so ridiculous. Some of the things I see on Twitter and other programs, how we're already bracing to be mad, to have rage, to go on Twitter and say this was a joke, to be mad that the Bears won. What world do we live in where we're mad the Bears won? Just ultra surprising and appalling. I don't support that whatsoever. But I really can't wait to see how it plays out. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Tom Grassi comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. I'm John McLaughlin, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's an award-winning comedian, host of the PacCast on YouTube, and the head of the Grassi Posse. Please welcome Tom Grassi to the program. Tom, it's great to have you on. How are you?
John, thank you. I think that's the first time I've been referred to as award-winning. I mean, technically, I won a comedy contest one time, so I guess it's technically the facts, but it makes me sound so much better than I actually am.
So, Tom, let's start with the NFC North, more specifically the Bears. Are they doomed this year in this division?
I don't want to say they're doomed. I think the big, when you guys drafted Tevin Jenkins, I was like, oh, because I wanted him so bad, because that guy is just a mauler on the line. I'm like, he's going to make that offensive line look so much better. He gets hurt, which is, it's honestly just a shame because I wanted to see him play. And I don't think you're doomed. I think putting Andy Dalton out there as the sacrificial lamb is a good move, just because maybe then the offensive line could get better as the season goes on, or it tells Matt Nagy, oh, I shouldn't put my rookie QB behind that line. But I think, you know, you have Mooney, you have Allen Robinson, David Montgomery. When all utilized correctly, it could be a functioning offense. And then the defense, though, the secondary is, I think, is not going to be as good as it was in previous years. You still have a great pass rush. So I think the Bears will still be competitive. I think it's just going to be a matter of, like, after like week six, who's going to be your QB and trying to deal with that.
You like the idea that Fields is sitting?
I love that. Like, okay. Listen, I'm still of that old school mentality. Let him sit. Like, I understand that now, like, the goal is you win a Super Bowl on your QB's rookie contract, right? That's what they did with Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's like the model now that the NFL goes by, because it's so difficult once you have to pay big money to that franchise QB, you know, not as much can go around anymore. So I think with the Bears, they're in a position where, like, they're playing Andy Dalton $10 million, you know, Justin Fields obviously on his rookie deal. So, like, there is a window. It's not necessarily the offense, though. It's the defense window. That you're like, all right, we got like 5 years, you know, if Fields, you know, pans out, that to try and make this thing happen.
Well, and I've heard the fear too that, ironically enough, it's going to be the defense that could let this Bears team down with Justin Fields developing. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, you know, you guys got Quinn, what was that, last year, and he didn't really do a whole lot for you guys. But, you know, Fuller going as well, which was a little surprising to me. You know, obviously you got guys like Eddie Jackson still back there, and they're still going to be, you know, amazing. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the defense takes a step back. I mean, I think, you know, you obviously have Khalil Mack back there still across the line. You do have some great players along that line. So I think, like, you know, your pass rush should still be solid, if anything. And I think it's kind of, it's almost similar to like what the Cardinals are doing, right? Like, you build up that pass rush. And they're like, all right, well, like, we can forget about the secondary for a while, just because if the pass rush is so good, that kind of makes up for a developing or a younger or inexperienced secondary. And obviously, again, you have Eddie Jackson back there. But, you know, if you're able to get that pass rush going, then you should still be, you know, at least efficient.
Tom Grassi here on Sports Talk Chicago. Tom, is Matt Nagy the right coach for this team?
As a Packers fan, yes.
Come on, objectively, I know it works for you, but what about Bears fans watching?
You know, that's a great question, because I feel like when things go wrong, right, the head coach is usually like the first person to blame, you know, and that's just the way that the league works. It's the way that the fan base was work, et cetera. However, when it comes to Matt Nagy, I think his experience, if you will, with play calling and not setting up players to be successful. And what I mean by that is, you take a guy like Mitch Trubisky, right? So Trubisky, is he going to be a Hall of Famer? likely not, right? Not going to happen. However, Mitch Trubisky could scramble, right? He was pretty good on his feet, and he needed a strong running game. When you guys went into the playoffs and won the North that year, that was based off a really strong running game. Mitch Trubisky should never have been the sole focus of that offense. And instead, I know as he was developing, like, they weren't having designed runs for him. And again, it's a matter of, if you're a coach, you are trying to put the players with their skill set, because they're on your team, right, in the most, I guess, efficient, successful positions possible. And that's it. And unfortunately, like, that didn't happen. Like, David Montgomery's a good running back. He's a real good running back. And, like, why are you not? I know they did a lot more last year, but, like, 2 years ago, why are you not running the ball, like, all the time? And I think, you know, with the offensive line, there's that obviously plays a role in that as well, that, you know, that didn't make things easy for that offense. But I think when it comes to Matt Nagy, do you trust him with a brand new franchise QB? I don't know if he's done enough to kind of earn that trust.
What do you think he does to Justin Fields? Is it more of a positive or a negative at the end of the day, Nagy's impact on Fields?
I honestly think it's not even going to be on Nagy. I think it's honestly going to be on the development of that offensive line. Because I think if you're Matt Nagy and you see Andy Dalton getting, like, destroyed out there every week, you don't put him in there. Like, you don't, you feel, buddy, enjoy that clipboard, because that's where you sit, or you go when it's a blowout or something like that, just because the risk reward ratio is so off. It's opportunity cost, right? So I think that it's going to be a matter of, if Andy Dalton struggles come week 4, 5, 6, what's going on? Why is he struggling? Is it because he's not making the throws? Is it because he has no time to make the throws? Is it the play calling? I think it's a matter of, are you willing to do what's best for the franchise in the long term, which may not even include him in it, but are you willing to do that to make sure that Justin Fields is the most set up for success? Because I think out of the new quarterbacks that are coming through in the North, and Jordan Love, Kellen Mond, and of course, Justin Fields, I think Fields has all the talent in the world, right? The fact that he fell to you guys is gross. But the fact that, like, you see it, like, you're like, oh, okay, I see why. And obviously it's just preseason, but I think he has a lot of talent, and it's just a matter of, can you preserve that talent so he doesn't learn those bad tendencies of, oh God, I'm going to get murdered every single time I take a snap. You know, that, I think that's going to be really important for a developing young QB.
Do you think he's the best out of that group of Mond, Love, and then Fields? Is he the best out of those three?
I mean, again, it's impossible to tell because we've never seen any of them take an actual NFL snap before. Right. I think that Jordan Love is in the best place possible because re-signed David Bakhtiari, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers for 2 years. You know, he basically has it all in what he needs to be successful. It's a young offensive line, guys like Elton Jenkins, et cetera. So I think that he's in the best opportunity to be successful. I think Justin Fields has a very high ceiling based off of his talent. So again, it's just going to be a matter of, how is he utilized and is he put in a place to be successful?
How far do you think the Bears go this year, regardless of the quarterback thing, just overall sure. prediction? Where do you think they go? How many games do they win?
I mean, looking at we have a hell of a schedule this year. We're going up against the NFC West, which is arguably, in my opinion, the best division in football. Like, because you could have, I mean, the Cardinals are like the favorites to lose that division, and they're still a good team. Like, they still on paper look really, really good. So I think the North is going to have a time this season. If I'm the Bears, again, omitting the QB conversation, with the struggling offensive line, you still have some weapons, though. Defensive line should still be pretty good. I mean, I look at you maybe competing for like the seventh seed like you did last year. Maybe you have a game on Nickelodeon again. But it's a matter of, I think it's going to kind of be like one of those middle of the road years, unless Justin Fields comes out and just starts swinging. And, you know, he's starting by week 4 and he's the guy, which is always possible.
Tom Grassi here on Sports Talk Chicago. Tom, let's talk Packers now. How relieving was Aaron Rodgers' return?
Buddy, this offseason, it aged me significantly. Like, I didn't have too many gray hairs, but now it's there. A relief, yeah. Because the thing was, is I had the moronic idea that I was going to enjoy this year's draft, because after last season with Jordan Love and, you know, all that, I was like, you know what, we're going to go into this year, it's draft day, it's going to be so nice, it's going to be relaxing, we're just going to get all these weapons or what have you. And Adam Schefter decided to tear my heart out and stomp on it. So yeah, that it was a relief to say the least. And I know that the narrative this year is like the last dance and things like that. So I have to say, if this is the last year with Aaron Rodgers, which it's looking like it's going to be, like, I'm glad I know that ahead of time, because now I can really savor this season. So like, regardless of what happens, I'm like, I'm still watching Aaron Rodgers, maybe for the last time in a Packers uniform. So, because if he left after last season, it would have just felt like, oh, that's how it's going to come to an end, like another NFC championship loss. So yeah. Yeah. We're going to try it one more time.
How prepared are the Packers for when Rodgers leaves? Like, is Jordan Love the guy, do you think?
Again, I think we've put him with Matt LaFleur, who is a phenomenal coach. He works with QBs very, very closely, helped develop guys like Matt Ryan and had an MVP year. You know, he's kind of done it all. You have a left tackle in Dave Bakhtiari, who's one of the best in the league. He signed up for the next few years under contract. You have Elgton Jenkins, who's going to get all the money because he can play every single position along the offensive line. So you have a developing offensive line. The concern, I think, comes with wide receiver, because technically after this year, Amari Rodgers is the one who we just drafted, is the only wide receiver that's probably going to be around, definitely, because Alan Lazard, MVS, they are all in contract years. Funchess is no longer on the team. EQ's no longer on the team. He's on the practice squad. And then you have Randall Cobb, who is most likely not going to be here after next year, regardless of what his contract says. So I think he's in a great position to be successful. Do I think that there's going to be a learning curve? And do I think that there might be a couple down years? Absolutely. But you also have Aaron Jones on the team. You have AJ Dillon, who's on his rookie deal. You have the pieces, you know, you have tight ends. So I think that there's a lot of pieces for him to walk in and at least be able to find some success early on. And I think what you saw, because this is the first time we actually saw Jordan Love play, what you saw in the preseason is that of a rookie QB, right? The Bills game is a perfect example of that. It's back-to-back plays. He makes an incredible, like, off-the-cuff, on-the-run throw, and you're like, oh, man, that's why he's a first-round pick. And then the next one, Josh Myers trips him up, and he's just like, I'm going to launch it. Hopefully someone's there and throws an interception. So I think what you see is a raw rookie QB. You see those flashes of the first-round talent. But as you know, like, drafting a QB in the first round ain't no, ain't no guarantee. So...
how important is the run game? You mentioned Jones. I think that'll be a good component to help develop Love.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that, I mean, we had Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, and I love Jamal Williams to death now, and unfortunately, the land of misery, which is Detroit. You have, I think, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, having both of them, especially Aaron Jones, even in the passing game, I think it's so easy because it takes just such a load off of, you know, a young QB's shoulders. And that's what I was talking about Trubisky. When you guys were successful, you had a great running like game. Like, that was it. Cause it was like, oh, I don't have to throw every single play. Right. And when you don't have that running back, I know there's like that thought around the league, if you don't pay running back second contracts and blah, 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 which there's some validity to that. But I think at the end of the day, you know, it really takes some of the pressure off, because if you have no running game to work with, you better have a damn good QB.
What do you expect out of him this year with Rodgers then?
To keep that bench real, real warm, and to get that right knee ready for when he's kneeling it at the end of the game. So like Tim Boyle's. that's the thing. I have zero expectations for Jordan Love. And I think that that's what it should be, because Jordan Love, God forbid Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. That's the only thing, you know, unless it's a blowout or anything like that. I don't want to see a lot of Jordan Love, because that's not what this season's for, right? Jordan Love is again, learn. I'm very okay with him sitting. I know it cuts into his rookie deal. And, you know, technically, even if Rodgers leaves, we're only going to see 3 years of Jordan Love before he's going to have to get extended. But I'd rather them not rush into it and just take their time. And you're learning behind one of the best to ever play the game. So if he's not successful, it won't be because of the Packers.
Are the Packers a Super Bowl contender this year?
Absolutely. I think they are one. The schedule is definitely harder. I think we're playing 9 playoff teams from last year. As I said before, like going against the West, you know, the 49ers who are going to be back, you know, the Rams, I think, are Super Bowl contenders. The Seahawks are the Seahawks. But I think that, of course, you have the Buccaneers and all that great stuff. I think that there's some really good teams in the NFC this year. The NFC East shouldn't be as much of a dumpster fire as it was last year. But I think that they are definitely Super Bowl contenders. And that's not like the homerism or bias. And I think it's just a matter of, you look at what they put together last year. They were the number one scoring offense. What changed on the offense? All pro Corey Linsley, our center, gone, but we replace him with Josh Myers. So if he's able to just be decent, that's solid. And then Jamal Williams leaving, and you replace him with AJ Dillon, who's coming into his second year, who I think will be even more productive. So the offense hasn't really changed. It's really around that offensive line. Bakhtiari being out for the first 6 weeks definitely hurts, but we've won without David Bakhtiari before. So I think that as long as that O-line, that's what it's really going to come down to. As long as that O-line is solid this year and no injuries, the offense should be able to continue to rock and roll. And then on the defensive side, we didn't lose anybody, even Kevin King. We brought Kevin King back too. But you added TJ Slayton, the big guy from Florida. You got Joe Barry to come in and hopefully make those linebackers better. Of course, you have Eric Stokes, our first round pick for corner. So I think it's just a matter of we have added pieces. And the team should, and there really shouldn't be any regression if the offensive line is able to hold. So I think that they should be just as good, if not better. It might not be reflective in the record. Like, you know, I don't expect to just go 13-3 3 years in a row. Well, we can't technically now, but yeah, I think that they are definitely Super Bowl contenders. It's a matter of just finishing strong.
Are they good enough to beat Tampa?
I mean, taking a look at that Tampa defense from Thursday, it's week one. So again, we can't make these assumptions and biases just after week one, but I mean, I think they can. That's kind of the benchmark, right? Like Tampa is the benchmark. They brought back everybody. They have so many weapons on that offense, and their defense is really good. But that secondary, I mean, Dak threw for over 400 yards. Again, it's week one. It's week one. We can't judge yet. But I think that they can, because I think last year, if you have David Bakhtiari, it's a different game. Because Billy Turner was over there and got demolished all game, and Rodgers had no time to throw. So I think that, you know, you change a couple plays in there, like Kevin King, you know, not giving up a touchdown to Scotty Miller. I think the Packers potentially win that game. I don't know if they'll get home field advantage again this year, because it's a stacked NFC, but I think they have what it takes to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Let me ask you this. If they win the Super Bowl, what do you plan on doing to celebrate?
Honestly, it's going to just be a relief. I mean, when I became a fan, I was 6. And so I missed the Super Bowl 31 victory by a year. They lost the Super Bowl the year I became a fan. And then I didn't see it till college, in which college, we had a grand old time. In New York, though, nobody was a Packers fan, but I ran around. It was great. It was wonderful. If they win, it's going to be just pure relief, because four NFC championship games in the past decade, and it's just heartbreaking. So I think it's just going to be a matter of a lot of screaming, a lot of partying, and just a whole lot of relief. Like, there's that picture during the Run the Table season where Rodgers just like collapsed in like his locker room and just like that's how I feel. Cause I feel like for the fans, it's like, we had the Bucks win it, you know, and they went for a much longer time, but I think that would be like the perfect way to like close the Aaron Rodgers saga in Green Bay. It would be really weird to trade him after that, but that's neither here nor there.
More to come with Tom Grossi in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Rossi, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Tom, I wanted to also talk about your career for a moment, too. What prompted your start on YouTube?
Yeah, so the first thing that actually started was not even YouTube. It was, I just started the podcast, Packcast, after the year that the Packers lost the NFC Championship game against the Seahawks, because that game was just, everything just went wrong. Like, everything that could have possibly went wrong. And it was so many things. So I made a fake reaction video to that, it was really therapeutic, if anything, just like going through and just being like, oh, like they won't get the onside kick. They got the onside kick. Oh, they'll stop Marshall. Oh, and so I put that out there. They got like 65,000 views. This is back in 2015. And all these Packer fans were like, thank you so much. Like, this felt so good to get out. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, this was pretty cool. So I started the podcast that August. And for the first like year and a half, it was just kind of basically on like SoundCloud and Apple Music at that point, like iTunes and stuff. And then I just started putting more and more stuff on YouTube. And as time went on, I was like, you know what? I probably would get more traction on YouTube. So we went away from just audio much of the visual part of it as well. And it's just been crazy ever since. And so 2018 was like a big year, went on Sunday Night Football. And then 2019, since August of 2019, I put out content at least Monday through Friday.
How'd you find a way to merge your comedy roots with your Packer fandom? I mean, that's a pretty unique thing about your channel.
It's a niche. it's a niche. Well, I think it's a couple things. I think the thing that really helped the channel blow up is two things. One were the reaction videos, where now I've done every single team for the past, I think, 3 years at this point. So all 32 teams, they get a reaction. So I think it, and that's the thing too, like the way I do research for that is like, I go into like their subreddits, their message boards to be like, what happened during the season? How did like people react to it? Cause I want to get it as close as humanly possible. Right. I mean, the Lions are easy. It's just like, you know, F the Packers and that's easy, but, and that's basically for the Bears and the Vikings too. But, in terms of like the comedy, I think it's like that simple approach to sports because, you could go and you can listen to somebody who's much better than I am talk about like analytics and talk about schemes and talk and listen, like I'm not the guy to talk about that. Like I can look at somebody's tape and I will give you my opinion and I will do all the research I possibly can. I'll give you like my takes on it and we can get really analytical, but that's not where my forefront is. And I think that the reaction videos are kind of that way of like blending that comedy aspect of it with that football aspect. And I think the second biggest thing that helped the channel were the streams. So like live streaming the games, no audio, no visual, don't worry, NFL, don't copyright me, but it's a matter of, it's basically like watching a game, like with another fan. And I think that that's a big, big thing that helped because it's a matter of, hey, I don't want to listen to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I don't want, you know, no offense, but you know, some of the commentators are not great. And I think that this just offers an alternative because I think nowadays a lot of the audience, like they want somebody to be biased, right? Like you're watching, you know, a Packers Bears game. You're like, no, I'm rooting for the Packers. Like I want to watch someone who's like, yeah, not that's another first down, like monotone, like, you know, with no expression whatsoever. So I think it's just kind of that desire. And I've been able to just, I have an improv background. So when something happens, it's pretty easy just to adapt to the situation. So I think it's just kind of taking it. And we've obviously expanded more than just the Packers. Now we talk a lot about NFL. It'll still be Packers centric, but yeah, I think it's just been real fun finding that blend. And it's just like my humor, which is not for everybody. But the people who kind of show up, they seem to enjoy it. And we keep on rocking.
What should viewers expect for this upcoming season from the channel?
Oh, so much content. There is, I mean, there's new shows that are coming in. We're gonna be streaming more than ever because this is the first time that I'm actually doing this and only this full time. So like that's a nice relief because I was working 100-hour weeks between full-time teaching and full-time doing this for the past 2 years. So now it's just a matter of, I mean, there's going to be stuff 6 days a week and it's going to be a lot, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really, really excited to do new shows, to kind of just really sink a lot of time and effort into this and just grow it as much as I possibly can.
And Tom, before we finish up today, last question, why'd you react the way you did to the Jordan Love pick?
What do you mean, John? You mean screaming into a pile of clothes? Which, of course, if there's a video that's going to hit a million views first, of course it has to be that one. So that's the thing. As I've said multiple times, it's not Jordan Love himself. I think he was talented, and I actually didn't even hate the Packers choosing him. What was frustrating was the fact that we traded down for him and there was other guys available. And like that, like you hear me in there, like I'm talking about Patrick Queen, for example. At that point, Denzel Mims, what it looks like we might have dodged a bullet on that one. But I think that it was just a matter, we just went to the NFC Championship game. Like we should get something to help this team like right now. And like that, and you looked at that draft, for me in the beginning, I was like, what the heck is going on? Because you have Jordan Love, then you have AJ Dillon. We already have a running back in Aaron Jones, which makes sense because, again, he was in a contract year and we didn't know if we were going to pay him again, whatever. Josiah DeGuerra, we just drafted Jay Sternberger, so that's a tight end. And I'm like sitting there looking, I'm like, well, I don't know what's happening right now. It's seemingly a draft for the future, but they did get some guys that are going to wind up helping. I think DeGuerra is going to be really good, and I think Dylan's going to be really good to help like this team win right now. But I think at the end of the day, it was just there seemed to be more gaping needs. So I think that the initial reaction was like, why are we going on QB now? Like if they got Jordan Love in the second, I'm like, there's no screaming clause. I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But it was the trading down and grabbing him that I was like, oh, okay, this is happening now. And I knew the storm that was about to be set off, and it was correct because there was a storm.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining me. Really a pleasure to have you on. Best wishes, of course, with the channel coming up, and hopefully we can do this again soon. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, John. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Great talk there with Tom Grassi, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Tom Grassi himself, Matt Dubio, WCKG, Jim DeTobin, Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluum. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe. So long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?